wonderful for us to focus entirely on Jesus Christ, our living hope. That illustration that Andrew brought earlier in the meeting was such a powerful one, and it'll come to us as we look at the word. It was just, I'd encourage you to remember that ice axe and how he was attached to it, but not just that he was connected with it, but that he held it. And then, in order to be saved, you have to throw yourself entirely. Now, that's not your work that saves you, but it's the fact that you trust, you place your trust entirely. You can throw your full weight of you, yourself, and the complexity and the depth of the well and the powers that are at work in us. But for the grace of Christ, we can throw ourselves entirely on the wonderful saving power and grace of the Lamb of God who was slain once and for all. And if we protest too much, we should stop and look to that serpent that was put up there in the wilderness. You remember in Numbers, they were instructed a very strange thing to do, and then Jesus picks that up in John chapter 3 and says, yeah, that was me on the cross. We look to him. There is no other hope, no other help. Glory to his wonderful name. This is exclusively for everyone. I keep using Marks and Spencer's advertising. I don't make apologies. Exclusively for everyone. Oh, praise God. Praise God. So we read in Romans, you don't have to turn there, this is a meditation on hope. We read in Romans 15, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's clear, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? We've been given the scriptures, the treasury of God's word, written down, all those books together in one book. What a deal that is. 66 books in one book. What a rich treasury. And we've been given these scriptures that we, through the patience and comfort of them, might have hope. We're to meditate on his word. We're to read it, we're to eat it, we're to ponder it, we're to share it together, we're to pray it, study it, value it. Wonderful, wonderful, written word of God. Speaking of the word of God, Jesus Christ, our living hope. We read him, don't we? Throughout the old and into the new, we read him. He's there, spoken of. Oh, how wonderful. When I last spoke, we were in Hebrews. There's going to be a little link. If you want to turn there, you can, but we're going to zip here, there and everywhere. So apologies if it's a little bit, if you're trying to follow, feel free to do so. But if it's a little bit of a journey, there's a number of scriptures and thoughts I'd like to share as we meditate on hope. So in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 to 25, do you remember last time we reached the end of what I was thinking around then about considering one another? There are three exhortations in this short passage that say, let us, and this is in the light of all that's gone before. And we have in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19, therefore brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. What a rich theme that is, the house of God. Let us, this is the first let us, it's not let us, it's let us. We keep encouraging our girls to eat their greens Obviously, lettuce in the summer, green beans in the winter. Okay, let us draw near is the first one, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. What a wonderful phrase that is. Full assurance of faith. This isn't to do with you or you working it up. It's to do with having caught a glimpse of the One. That's where you get your full assurance from. You realize how all-sufficient and perfectly wonderful Christ is. If we're looking to ourselves, we won't have full assurance, I can guarantee it. You will always be creaking around and feeling, well, shady, and like you're never actually quite going to make it, though you give it your best shot and reach higher and do more and try harder. And you're on a hide into nothing, my friend. It's a hamster wheel of works. Rest in Him. He's the One. Glory to His name. And anything that we do should flow out of that place of deep, deep, once and for all, finished soul rest that's ministered when we come to Him, knowing it's got nothing to do with our performance or our ability or whatever else. Jesus Christ, my hope is built on nothing less. We sang that last week, didn't we, Brian? Glory to God. My hope, do you remember? I know it's a long time ago. A lot of water under the bridge since last week. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. You know the hymn? Oh, glory to God. Let us draw near with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Number two, let us hold fast. It's quite a harvest, this, isn't it? Sorry. Let us hold fast the confession of what? Our hope. Let us hold fast. Now picture that ice axe for a moment, will you? I just want to make a definite link. I felt the Lord really spoke to my own heart. Let us hold fast. Praise God. The confession of our hope without wavering. How, again, we've had full assurance of faith. Now we've got the confession of our hope without wavering. This is all rock solid. Well, if it's based on you, it's not going to be rock solid. Sorry, I don't mean to be too offensive at this early stage in the meeting. I don't know if you've discovered that about yourself. You're not rock solid. You're easily blown and tossed. Yeah. I know you might have years of experience and feel like the Lord in His goodness has built in good character, and I'm not knocking that at all. Absolutely. But still, we are easily swayed. We're easily knocked. Our life is a vapor. The Word speaks very clearly. When we think we're strong, beware. You know, when we think we stand, beware lest you fall. You know, right on the back of your greatest victory, beware. Just takes one step. How then? Without wavering. How then? Full assurance. I know it's obvious, I'm just really overstating this point on purpose. Because it's Him. He's unshakable. He's immovable. He never grows tired or weary. He never loses heart. Never loses heart. He does not faint. Oh, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? He's undaunted. He is our great hope. God of hope. Oh, praise God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We looked at the last letters last time. Let us consider one another. So I just want to focus in on that as our starting point. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. How? For He who promised is faithful. That's the focus. He who promised is faithful. Glory to God. So in light of that wonderful, powerful truth being revealed to us fresh this morning, here's the exhortation. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and if you want to turn, you remember last time we were in Hebrews 3, talking about the house, when we were considering one another. It said about for every house in Hebrews 3 verses 4 to 6, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. I just love the scriptures, just packed full of such wonderful goodness in each clause, in each phrase. Sometimes just a few words and you can just allow the Lord to make them real to you. Chew on them, meditate. Just that there will bring stability to our souls. He who built all things is God. Amen. Moses was indeed faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, and listen, here comes this linking thought, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Isn't that lovely? The confidence and rejoicing of the hope. I know we've given it away already. I mean, we're heading somewhere here, but the big, big crescendo point is that Jesus is our hope, our living hope. So when we read these words, confidence, it's not some worked up self-confidence. This is confidence in him. Joy in him. He's the joy of heaven. How do we get to come boldly to the throne of grace? Do you approach boldly? Or do you kind of creep up, thinking, I'm not worthy. How on earth can I get in here? I'm not worthy. We know that. Stop going on about it. We're not coming on. It's got absolutely nothing to do with whether you're worthy or not. Absolutely nothing. Otherwise, we couldn't come boldly. If we think we can come boldly based on even the slightest iota of anything to do with us, we will constantly be insecure and wavering and not full of assurance. But if you fix your eyes on Christ, he is rock solid, watertight, 100% boldness. You know what? You can come running into the presence. If you're depending 100%, if your hope is built on nothing less, you can have had the most awful, in your estimation and perhaps in your peers' estimation, track record. Sorry, that was a really strange sentence. Your track record can be pretty ropey, let's just put it like that. And you think, I don't have anything to commend myself. I'm not good enough. Of course, none of us are. Even the one next to you who you think is just cruising. Saint-like in all their reactions and capacities. They never let it slip. They are proper examples of like trophies of grace, sanctified all the way, yet full sanctification, fully filled every day, just no hindrances, living the life as it's meant to be, dipped right into the unsearchable riches of Christ. They seem to have like an open access to that, withdrawing constantly every moment. And then you can start thinking, I don't get to come. What's that? What's going on? And we're estimating something of the outworking of grace, and it's, we get off track. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Can I just remind you? Christ filling our horizon, as Lilius Trotter ended one of her marvellous books with. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, this is hope for the hopeless, hope for the broken, hope for the no-gooders, hope for the utterly unreachable, hope for the sinners, hope for the publicans. Hope, hope, glory to his wonderful name. Keep on hoping. Are we there? I totally forgot that I had some slides. Not really that important. Margaret, see, I got it coming. That's because I gave them in too late, wasn't it? Marg was having a word with me, being naughty. They should have come last night. Anyway, don't be distracted. They're supposed to help you if you find them. Oh, there you go. We're in the right place. Yeah, is it February or March, the ladies? Hope. Keep on hoping. I don't know if anyone's seen Finding Nemo. There's a great little bit in there. Keep on swimming, keep on swimming. Just keep on going. Keep on keeping on. This is just a point I want to share. So if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end, keep on hoping in the one. Keep on every day. My hope is in you, Lord. You're my only hope. We need to preach to ourselves. I know that sounds a little odd to some folks, but it's true. You need to preach to yourself. You can see it in the Psalms. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Do you remember that? Why are you disquieted? Says the psalmist to himself. Psychologists might have a little bit of concern at this point. And then he answers, hope in God. He's preaching to himself. Good thing to do. Hope in God. Keep on hoping. Okay, we're going to stay with this for a minute. Listen, in Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ. We heard that. Partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So that doesn't actually mention hope, but it's linked in the writer's mind. This idea of he's laid hold of us and we are in response just to fully hope in him. Lay hold. Hold on. Keep on hoping. Steadfast to the end. In Hebrews 4:14-16 we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Isn't that wonderful? Now you might be thinking at this point, and it's true, that if you hold on tight to something, initially that's okay. You might have a bit of strength in your hand and you're holding on. And then after a while you start to lose the feeling in your hand. And then if you're really gripping for a long, long time and you try and release the grip, you kind of have lost the capacity. You sort of have to peel it. You should try it. It's quite fun. But actually, if it goes on for a long, long time, and you can see this sometimes illustrated, some really moving scenes in various things where someone is holding on and then they're losing their grip. And slowly, they're shaking, and then they lose their grip, and often it's fairly tragic, whatever that story is, and they cannot hold on any longer. Can I just say that this isn't that? It isn't about you having the power to hold on to the end. It's an exhortation within the context of you being held, that underneath you are the everlasting arms, and if you fall into grace. My friends, hey, sometimes we feel we cannot walk, we cannot hold on any longer. You're held, he's got you. But this is an exhortation to our souls to respond to him and to say, yes, Lord, I want to keep on hoping. We heard it again. Maybe you've lost heart. The word of the Lord came. Hope again. Love again. Go again, in the name of Jesus, not in your kind of stoicism. Oh, praise him. How wonderful. Let us hold fast our confession. And that's linked in with that scripture where we can come boldly. Oh, praise him. And in Hebrews 6:11 it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope." Do you remember the full assurance of faith? We've got here the full assurance of hope until the end. Keep on hoping. Have you ever thought about the hope that doesn't disappoint? I'm going to read from a different translation to what I normally use, but this is speaking of Abraham in Romans 4. Just listen to these words. "Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping." Even where there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. On what basis? I'll tell you. Thankfully, the word answers itself in other places. So that was in Romans, and in Hebrews we read, "For when God made a promise," when God made a promise to Abraham, "because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." We'll come to that in a moment. That's a very interesting thing for God to be willing to do. He said, "Surely, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you." Can you already hear, excuse the expression, but the belt and the braces? "Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, this is Abraham's response to the promise, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. "For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute." Thus God, why did he do this? Listen, he was determining to show, this is God, really, really keen, determined, absolutely committed to what? To show, I love this, more abundantly to the heirs of promise the unchanging nature, there's a big word here, the immutability of his counsel. God determining to make this abundantly clear to the heirs of promise. Who are they? Us. Yeah. It's a bit warm in here. You're getting a little bit soporific. Yeah, it's you. In this specific context we're in now. He confirmed it by an oath. So God's word, and then God swears by himself. Wow. Wow. He doesn't need to do that. The reason is, he wants to make abundantly clear to us, the heirs of promise, that by two immutable things, God's word, which is absolutely watertight and rock solid, unchanging, immovable, will last way beyond the end of time. That's an understatement. His word. And then God himself swears, makes an oath. Frankly, in one sense, you could say entirely unnecessary, because his word is enough. But he's doing this to make it super clear, abundantly clear to the heirs of promise. He is wanting us to be in no shadow of doubt about this. It links him with this idea of full assurance, of souls that don't have to waver. So he's saying, my word, my promise, I swear by myself. He makes an oath, and it says, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I mean, this is such a wonderful description of something that is already watertight, and then has added in a whole nother layer of complete watertightness. That's not even a word, but I'm trying to express it. It's supposed to be really surprising. So, are you getting the force of it? This is absolutely wonderful. And he says, by these two unchanging things in which it's impossible for God to lie, What's the result? We might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge. Are you in need of refuge? I tell you what, if you know what you're like, deep down in the core, but for the grace of God, you know you need to run for refuge. You don't just need pampering up a little bit and stroking. You need a full-on heart surgery. In fact, more than that, you need to be raised from the dead. We are all hopeless cases. And now you're thinking he's getting really rude. We're utterly lost. Impossibility written all over it. And in steps the one. When all hope was lost, he saved you. Glory to God. Oh, how wonderful. We fled for refuge. Refugees, my friends. And the refuge is Christ. He's our home. Fled for refuge. What? To lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor. This hope, Christ, does not disappoint. Now, I hope I get better soon, but it might be another week. I might be disappointed in that particular small version of hope. I hope Ella gets better right now. It's probably going to take a few days. So we say, don't we? Oh, I hope you have a lovely holiday. Genuinely, I really do. If you're going away, I hope you have a lovely time. You might have a nightmare. You might have been sold a dummy and it's a building site. And like then there's norovirus running through the hotel and it's absolutely awful. So my "I hope you have a nice holiday" is genuine. But this is not what we're talking about. This, oh, strong consolation. This is an anchor. I feel a song coming on, don't you? How it... What do you think? Just a chorus? We have an anchor, steadfast and sure as the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. That's what we're talking about. We have an anchor. This hope isn't wavering. This hope isn't what we just had there, full assurance, whatever the opposite of that is. This hope isn't, oh, I really hope it's going to be a white Christmas. But every year we're disappointed, aren't we? And then we cling on, you know, you have a little bit of hail and we're going, it snowed. No, it was hail. One flake, yeah. It's not that. This, oh, this glorious hope that does not disappoint. And we can read that in Romans. We're going to move quickly now. Therefore, having been justified by faith. And this is what, this is Romans 5 if you want to follow. But this, we're linking in with the father of faith, Abraham. I like to think he's the father of hope too, in a sense, because even when there was no reason for hope, in some versions it says, in contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Not, he didn't believe in hope small h, he believed in the promise of God. His he was hanging on full weight, throwing it onto that ice axe. You know, the whole destiny of humanity in some senses, looking back, was dependent on what was going on here in terms of the promise of God coming to Abraham and how he responded to that promise. Just amazing. Oh, glory to God. The hope that does not disappoint. In Romans 5 we read, we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Who we don't see, yet we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of what? Glory. Praise Him. And then we read this wonderful process in the now. And not only that, we also glory. This is surprising, but it's not when you realize who we're gazing at. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. Now, hope, and this is the hope we're talking about, hope does not disappoint. Now, you're probably thinking Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But read on, my friends, when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Listen to these words. I really want to say this in the last 5 minutes. I feel it's for some of us, it's for me too, but I just want to communicate this. Listen, in the middle of Job, and if you know anything about Job's situation, let's say he was clearly under pressure. Again, an understatement, sorry. But, we read it sometimes and we're not really fully getting the magnitude of what that dear man went through. And in the midst of this context, for there is hope for a tree if it's cut down, that it will sprout again. And its tender shoots will not cease, though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Isn't that beautiful? There's hope for the hopeless. There's hope for the tree that's been cut down. There's hope for the waste places. There's hope for the wilderness. There's hope. There's hope, my friends. Jesus Christ is the hope for a lost world. Oh, praise God. Listen, listen. This is just wonderful. So bear in mind that thought in Job, and then listen to this in Romans. They're quoting from Isaiah, there shall be a root. Of Jesse. And he... Sorry. I'm thinking specific situations. The Lord's spoken this, whispered it powerfully into my heart this week. And he will rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. And then Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, right on the back of that quote, says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. I mean, this is not just a little bud now. This is full on resurrection. There's a tree. When the desire comes, it shall be a tree of life. I want to tell you, the tree of life, Christ was hewn down at Calvary. The tree was cut down at Calvary. And when we thought it was all over, and the enemy and all his minions were cackling with their malevolent, malicious thoughts of victory over the light of the world. Listen, right there. Not somewhere else. Right there the victory was won. Glory to his name. Let that speak into your own life. In the very place of ultimate defeat, he's going to win. If you respond to him, the hope. The hope for the nations. Oh, we're coming up to Christmas. I'm singing, come, desire of nations, come. Are you? When the desire comes, oh, praise God, he's a tree of life. These scriptures, I've known them for ages, but boy, are they popping with fresh hope in my heart right now. Glory to God, there's hope. There's hope for a tree. Oh, praise God. We're going to finish with a door. 2 minutes. Sorry, Pete. Oh dear, there's always more, isn't there? It just keeps coming. Oh, praise God. The door, listen. I want to emphasize this point as we close. In the very place of defeat, in the very place of brokenness, in the very place of sin, there he's wanting to do a transformatory work. Right there, not somewhere else. Right there, that's Calvary. Right there, listen to this. Oh, praise God. I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. This links in with what Bri's been talking about. This links with every lost soul who will come to the great hope. Oh, praise God. You know what happened? You can read it. Joshua 7. It was a place of defeat right on the back of victory. It was a place of deceit. It was a place of sinfulness. It was a place of failure. It was a place of one in the camp making a mess and spoiling the whole thing. And the judgment came hard and fast. And Achan was stoned and all his family. And God's hot anger was withdrawn. And you think that valley was, it was actually trouble. It was known to them as trouble. Just awful, awful. And then in Hosea, of all places, it's again in Isaiah, a lovely reference to it. God says, there, right there, a door of hope. I don't know if you can see that. I'm going to finish now. Oh, the time, doesn't it just go? Sorry. But Lilias Trotter, I've commended her to you before. I recommend her. I don't know if you can see that. This is a gorse bush. Wonderful artist. Setteth in pain the jewel of his joy. I just look at that. I think, Lord, your crown, that place of thorns, that place of ultimate pain, bearing the sin of the whole world, the full depth and depravity, the complexity, all of it, he took it on himself there at Calvary, there in the valley of death, there in the valley of Achor, there he took the judgment, the hot wrath of God. He took it for you, for me, for this whole world. And right there, says Lilias Trotter, your soul he can bring into blossom. So take the very hardest thing in your life, the place of difficulty, outward or inward, and expect God to triumph gloriously there, right there, in that very spot. There's a door of hope, my friends, for the hopeless, for the broken, for the sin-stricken and smitten. This is the gospel. And we get to bear this message of hope. Amen. Oh, how wonderful. I'm going to finish there. There's more. You know there's the hope of glory coming. We've already had that from the beginning. Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? I'm aware we're at 5:30. Please forgive me, but I just needed to get that last little bit out. Right there. Listen, right there. When all hope was lost, he saved you. And he's here to work right there. Whether it's in you specifically, or whether you're praying for someone specifically. Oh, praise God. Only he can do these things. This is absolutely impossible. Other than the fact that he is the one. Oh, Jesus. Lord, you come to us. We sang at the beginning, come, Lord Jesus, come. We bless you that you're coming, riding on the clouds. But we praise you, Lord, in anticipation of that great day. Lord, you come to us again and again in the power of your Holy Spirit. And as you come, Lord, we see again your scars. You, the glorified one, yet you still bear those scars. Oh Lord, speak deep into our lives and into the situations we're praying for. Your word we covet. Your word. Your promise. And then help us as you speak to hope against hope. Believe in you, our great hope, our living hope. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Lord, may you cause wilderness places to blossom. Those thorny parts, Lord, to become beautiful. At your command. Oh, glory. You see all of our responses, Lord. You see every journey represented here, every person prayed for, every individual soul, and us together as a church, and we give ourselves wholeheartedly. Lord, we take fresh hold of that ice axe that we saw earlier and just fully throw our weight on you. Praise your wonderful name. Oh Lord. Lord, we trust you. We trust you to lead us home. Bring in many, many sons and daughters to glory. Oh, how we love you. How we love you. Amen.